Hello and welcome to Film Actually News for the 12th of February 2012. I am Dave McVeigh and I am joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
I'm not too bad, man. Not too bad at all. I've just started to get a coffee kicking in, so
Nothing beats caffeine. And Richard Gray, how are you?
I believe the children are our future, David.
Oh, dear. This is Film Actually News. This is our, how do we describe this? Our Fast and Furious news show where we're just going to rip through it and see what happens. We do it fast and loud and under 30 minutes or your money back. And we are going to start with me this week. And Harrison Ford is not in talks to play Deckard. There you go. That's it. That's the story. No. Basically, earlier in the week, rumors had surfaced that Harrison Ford was actually being approached to play Deckard again in this Blade Runner prequel slash sequel plus spin-off, whatever this thing is that they're thinking about making. As it turns out, later in the week, Alcon Entertainment have now come out and said absolutely patently false, and there has been no discussion about Harrison Ford being in Blade Runner. So,
there we go.
And all I could think on that was, really? You were thinking about, I thought replicants didn't age.
Well, obviously he's defective.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Simple fix.
He's just kind of melting before our eyes. Richard, what's next?
Well, it's award seasons, David, and it's not unusual for directors to send out copies of their film to Academy members before the nominations are announced.
It's kind of like a last-minute nudge.
Exactly.
Just or a wave encouraging them
last-minute bribe. Just a wave encouraging them to vote for their film. You'll see, for your consideration, if you will. Now, Jodie Foster sent out a copy of her Beaver. Film The Beaver. She really wanted everyone in the Academy to see her Beaver.
Holy hell! Yeah, exactly.
But she sent this film out, innuendo aside, she sent a film out to every member of the Academy. Not an unusual move, except for the fact the nominations are out and the Beaver didn't get a single one of them.
So what's she trying to promote? Her Beaver,
no idea.
Obviously.
I reckon she's just doing it for the gag. That's freaking hilarious. I would laugh my ass off at that.
She really, really felt that people should see this movie regardless.
I guess so. It didn't actually do very well at the box office, did it?
No.
That's why she's now...
Even though, because Mel Gibson had actually gone properly mad at that stage.
Yeah, so now she's literally giving her movie away for free.
Yep, pretty much.
Cool. All right, Josh, what do you got?
You know, that reminds me of, Dave, just quickly, do you remember, was it last year at the Razzies?
Yeah.
What's her name? Sandra Bullock giving out copies of...
Steve movie. That's
right. Steve.
That's right.
And she walked down giving it to everybody in the crowd saying that I just think you guys should go back and watch this film again. I wonder if she's trying to do that. She's trying to go I know you've done your decisions, but just saying.
Do you know what the scariest part of that whole idea, though, is, Josh? Is what? That when Sandra Bullock did it, it was a joke, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure Jodie Foster actually meant it. It's like, please, watch my movie, please.
God bless that woman for doing that, though. That made me laugh.
It's fantastic. All right, Josh, what you got?
All right, cool. Well, look, my three, I've been burdened with work, so I got three news stories in total. Three that have just caught my eye, just movie-wise, mm-hmm. and I just want to know what you guys think about them. Bit of a discussion here. Have either of you guys seen that there's this thing kicking around, and I don't know what this is going to be. It's either going to be a terrible movie about emos and growing up being emo.
Twilight.
Or it could be a really interesting horror, but it's called Warm Bodies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now before we go any further, let me just say it's called Warm Bodies, and it's a zombie, wait for it, romance film.
It just got pushed back, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Yeah. But this one, just when I saw it back in the news, I'm like, they're still going ahead with this. This is not a joke. This is actually happening. Okay, so apparently the main character plays an unusual zombie who rescues a girl from imminent deaths at the hands of his cohorts and their unlikely romance. Sorry. Setting in motion a change of events that would transform him. For good, I guess. Let's just stop it there.
It's basically necrophilia, isn't it?
Pretty much.
It's necrophilia, but it's a girl falling in love with a dead, boy. And
you know,
I've seen this before.
The problem is with a necrophilia relationship.
Is this going to be one of those horrible jokes that I didn't really want the answer to?
Yeah, pretty much. Is that you can feel the whole thing coming apart in your hands after a few weeks.
All right, on that note, let's move on from that. I'm going to say McGee, one of my favorite filmmakers, not. Now, McGee...
David, have you ever thought about changing your name to McVee?
No. the man of three letters has come out about his new film, This Means War, and basically saying that at one point they actually did ponder... actually putting multiple endings on this film so that when you went to the cinema, you wouldn't actually know what ending you were getting. Now, if anybody's thinking this sounds a lot like Clue, they would be right. At one point, they even say in this article that is from Movie Line, they even pondered one ending where the two guys ended up together.
That would have been awesome.
But in the end, McGee actually felt that... I'll quote from him, actually. He said, "We wanted to have the flexibility and even talked about two endings and releasing it on 3,000 screens, 1,500 having this ending and 1,500 having the other one, and just not saying anything. But it felt a little gimmicky in the end." You think?
Like, when does it get to that point in his mind? When do you actually get to the point where you're like, yeah, now this is silly? It's like, it was silly from the start.
Yeah, exactly. And you sit there and go, really? You actually even pondered this at one point? That's just very sad. But, you know, McGee, yeah, what can I tell you? This is the man who did Terminator Salvation. So, you know. Oh, well. Richard, tell me about Bourne.
Well, there's been a bunch of trailers coming out this week, but I wanted to say the Bourne Legacy trailer came out because it kind of got overwhelmed by a trailer you're about to speak about, David.
Oh, yeah.
And a trailer that we spoke about over on the Behind the Panel show, which was the Spider-Man trailer. Mm. But the Bourne Legacy came out, and it proved that it's not a sequel. It's not a reboot. It's not a remake. It's more of a spin-off alternate or a different part of the world. So I thought I'd play a little bit of the clip now.
Yeah, please do.
What's your name?
Kenneth Kitson.
Where are you from?
Reno.
Will you give yourself to this program?
Yes, sir. There is nothing that you wouldn't do for this country. You have the strength to do what's necessary.
Welcome to the program.
Jason Bourne was the tip of the iceberg.
All right. Yeah, no, I actually watched this trailer earlier in the week. I really liked it. I thought it was really, really captured the whole flavor of the Bourne series.
And it sort of put to rest any fears I had that it was just going to be a lame follow-up to an already strong trilogy. Look, Jeremy Renner, I think, will be fantastic in it. All the other cast members have come back, so there's a clear desire to keep it in continuity and it keep that same flavor to it. So I think, you know, and let's not discount the idea of a Matt Damon cameo. They mentioned Jason Bourne in the trailer.
But will it have this? It better.
Yeah.
I would be very surprised. You totally missed your call by like a second there, Dave.
What kind of a host are you?
We were sitting there going, yes.
Yeah, well, I can't help. iTunes didn't play straight away.
iTunes.
I'll blame iTunes.
See, it's iTunes.
It's all iTunes' fault, man. Look, I think it looks really good. I also love the fact that they brought back almost all of the original cast, except for Bourne, of course. So, yeah, the situation is they haven't rendered the movie. It actually is looking like a true Bourne film.
They're basically saying he was from a different program that makes Treadstone look like, you know, a group of tennis players. they didn't actually say tennis players. It was the only thing I could think of.
I gathered that. Okay.
Yeah.
You're a bit tired, aren't you?
Just a bit.
Just a bit. Josh, what you got?
All right. Have either of you guys got eyes on or are excited for? Did either of you guys actually get around to seeing the film The Messenger?
No.
Okay. Writer-director Oren Moverman was the man behind that film. And it was very interesting.
That's
film.
That's the Woody Harrelson film, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Woody Harrelson and one of my favorite, Ben Foster.
Right.
And, it is surprisingly effective. You know, it's a language film, you know, which is interestingly enough exactly how it should be, but it didn't quite hit, you know, Oscar material. But there are some amazing character moments in it. Anyway, this guy is doing another film called Rampant. Have either of you guys seen this?
No.
I have heard of it, yes.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's Woody Harrelson again playing Dave Brown, who is basically a cop who's on edge. We haven't, you know, ever seen that before. But it just looks really interesting. Jump around and see if you guys can find a trailer. I was hoping kind of people had seen a bit more of this. But yeah, like this, it's a very interesting character. It's like, it's nice to see somebody take that concept, because it's always a nice guy and there's always, you know, there's stuff underneath him. But this guy's just a true prick. He's stubborn. He's racist. He's got all sorts of problems. And it just, like, take a look, see what you think. But it's another one of my picks at the moment that people should keep their eye on.
It's a hell of a cast.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. I'll have to keep my eyes open for that one. We'll see if we can dig up a trailer for it.
Mm.
Cool. All right. Now, I got just a clip. I mean, let's face it. Look, I'm just going to let it talk for itself. This trailer came out this week, and here's just a small portion of it.
I still believe in heroes.
The Avengers.
That's what we call ourselves.
Earth's Mightiest Heroes type thing.
I have an army.
We have a Hulk.
That line is going to be remembered forever.
It's already being Facebook quoted by every single person.
Everybody I talk to, they go, have you seen the Avengers trailer? We got a Hulk.
It's probably an internet meme by the end of the week.
It's fantastic.
But we got our insert thing here.
Now, you've all seen the trailer, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have it embedded up at the site, and you've got it embedded on your site as well, I know, Richard. Do watch, if you are going to watch it, watch the 1080p full high def version. You really get a good look at all this. And I really like the fact that they've actually reworked the Hulk one more time, and now it looks like Mark Ruffalo.
You know what I want in that film? I want one line of dialogue, just one line of dialogue that says, because of his constant hulking out, he's actually changed his human appearance. Just one line of dialogue that would explain, and that would keep all the Hulk films in continuity.
Every time he comes back to human, he's slightly different.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
It happens slowly. So over the course of the last, you know, a few years that he's been in the wilderness, he's completely changed his look.
That's fantastic. I like that. They should work that in. Mm. And when people meet him, they can say, you look different.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I reckon they should just throw that in there as a line anyway. That would make me so happy.
I think so.
Just if someone was like, you look different. He's like, yeah, new haircut.
I'd be like, ah. There you go. All right, Richard, tell me good news.
You guys were fans of Machete, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, it was a fun little film that just, you know, none of us really saw. No, we loved it. It was the best, greatest kitsch throwback. Machete Kills and Machete Kills Again were telegraphed at the end of that film.
But Richard,
and Robert Rodriguez has just announced that in April they will be starting production on Machete Kills.
Yes, but Richard,
Machete don't text.
He don't text it. Best line in a film ever.
I love that film.
No word on whether anybody else is coming back for it.
Oh, I hope they're all back. Come on, let's face it. I just want them all back.
They probably will be, but I think we know one person who will be back for it.
Well, he better be, otherwise it's not really Machete.
No, not really. Unless he's hulked out and changed his appearance.
And he'd be played by Mark Ruffalo.
That would be kind of awesome, actually.
No, that's really good news. I can't wait to see the next one. I'm going to put money down to say that Robert Rodriguez actually shoots those two films back to back.
Yeah, I actually heard rumors at one point of Machete in Space.
Now, I would pay good money for that. I want that in IMAX.
Dude, I would pay any kind of money to see that. Seriously, that would be an experience.
Yeah, we're putting it to you now, Mr. Rodriguez. Machete in Space in IMAX 3D. We want this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Pay anything for it. Josh, what do you got?
My last one has just disappeared off my page. You son of a bitch, come back.
Well, while you look for that, I'll move on to another one. We'll come back to you.
No, I've got it.
No, you got it? All right.
Yeah, I wanted to say that as a horror fan, I keep every like 2 to 3 months, Dave, I just type Dracula into my little search bar in the hopes that we get another film.
Uh-huh.
Not for any particular reasons, right? You know, just because I'm like, they have to make another one. And every time, they have slowly killed the name Dracula in every film that they've ever done. Like, yeah. We had Dracula, and that was terrible, right? And then we had Dracula 2000, and that was just, yeah. And then we had Dracula 3000, where we thought, fuck it, why not take him into space? Because that's worked every single time we've ever done it.
But everything's better in space. Don't you know that?
Yeah, I know this. That's why I always watch
Unless we
these,
forget but... Jason X.
Thank you. And I'm like, they have to do something with the film. And I actually thought this was a joke title at first, but they're doing Dracula Year Zero.
Oh, God.
No. Now, this is going to be done, apparently negotiated to be directed by Gary Shaw. Now, I'm not sure if anybody knows.
Household name, obviously.
What?
Household name, obviously.
Yeah. And now I just wanted everybody to know that this film is happening so that we can remember and not be completely surprised when it jumps out in 3 to 4 months' time and we start getting pictures of it and it looks like crap. I just can't believe we're going this road again. Like, it's not going to work. It doesn't work. It's a cursed name in film.
Josh, can I comfort you slightly?
Yeah.
Later this year, Dracula 3D will also be coming out. I'm not making this up.
No, I know you're not. It's
a Dario Argento film.
Yes, I know about this.
And it's going to have Rutger Hauer as Van Helsing.
Oh, dude. Now, you see, I'm all right with that. I tried to watch Hobo with a Shotgun recently, and I realized that as much as I hate that man, I also really love him. He's just crazy. And
he's great.
You know who he reminds me of? It's him and Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd. I think I said Christoph Lambert or Christopher Lambert.
No. Well, those two have similarities, but I mean in the fact that they're both crazy and still acting crazy on screen, yet no one's connected the two dots between either person. I just think it's funny. But yeah, that's my story. Just wanted to keeping things alive today.
Fair enough.
You know, Dracula films.
So Dracula films coming. Okay. All right, I've got the
Speaking of Dracula.
Speaking of Dracula,
Sucking things dry.
Sucking things dry, anyway. All right, so George Lucas.
Dude, I wish we have to have best segue ever now.
Absolutely. All right, George Lucas says, are you ready? Greedo always shot first.
No way.
I've seen that movie. I've seen the only version of that movie that exists, and that's true.
Now, according to him, this is coming from this article that was on The Hollywood Reporter. He was interviewed, and he basically said that his intention in the movie was always that Greedo shot first, but the coverage that he... I'm having trouble getting through this article. The coverage.
No. Keep going. I'm listening so intently. You have no idea. Like, this is painful, and I want the facts perfect so that I can get angry in the right way.
All right. So I'm actually going to quote Lucas here. He says, "Well, it's not a religious event. I hate to tell people that. It's a movie. Just a movie."
Controversy. Let's try again.
The controversy over who shot first, Greedo or Han Solo, in Episode 4. What I did was try to clean up the confusion. He says, but obviously it upset people because they wanted Solo, quote, in brackets, who seemed to be the one who shot first in the original. What do you mean seemed? He did. Anyway, to be a cold-blooded killer. No, that's not what we wanted Solo to be. But I'll come back to that. Hold on. So he says, people, because they wanted Solo to be cold-blooded killer, but he actually isn't. It had been done in all close-ups, and it was confusing about who did what to whom. I put a little wider shot in there that made it clear that Greedo is the one who shot first, but everyone wanted to think that Han shot first because they wanted to think that he actually just gunned him down.
I'm going to let you finish, George, but you're a dick.
He's a dick.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That is just so disgusting.
How about this one?
This man has no dick.
There you go.
Like, you know what I find funny? It's like, not only has he got that wrong, he's also obviously never read any of the anger or controversy against him. He just knows that it's there.
Also,
so it's like, you know what he reminds me of, dude? He's getting a bit like Italian directors. where it's like they've always thought they were shooting absolutely wonderful, amazing films. So they never bother to listen to anyone giving them any criticism because they're just like, oh, well.
Well, it's like the director of Troll 2, if you remember.
That's exactly where I was mentally
absolutely
going.
Absolutely.
Guys, I've just finished watching a documentary called The People versus George Lucas.
Yep.
And I'm interviewing the directors of that on Tuesday. Basically, it paints a portrait of a man of a Jekyll and Hyde. Like during the 70s and certainly in the 80s when he was speaking out against Ted Turner and the colorization of films, he was like really hardcore against the system. And then they're saying at some point he became the system and didn't have to answer to anybody.
Yeah.
And at that point, creatively, he suffered because he was no longer had anybody telling him, no, you've gone too far.
Yeah, no, true. And the point that my lovely wife Katie and I, we were talking about this yesterday when we first read about this, and we were saying that it's like he sees the world in black and white. The way he words it by saying people want to see him as a cold-blooded killer. No, that's not exact. What we saw with Han Solo was a rogue, a lovable rogue, and he was a person who was in self-defense shooting Greedo. He was just taking the... it's hard to say, not self-defense so much because he shot first, but it was the whole idea of protecting himself, right? And he was never meant to be a cold-blooded killer. That's not what we were seeing at all. And it was about his growth of a character throughout that, from that kind of roguish, rough character to somebody who is actually much more likable and lovable.
Well, he puts himself in situations that where he gets to that, it's just like the thing I always got is it wasn't so much, like for me, it's not even a character-building moment. What it is for me is that it's the fact that you have a man that is completely aware of his situations. Like, it's a heightened awareness. He's like, this man is going to shoot at me.
That's exactly right.
And I'm going to put him down. And that was what it was for me. It's like, it's not even a character moment. It's just a moment of somebody who's very primal. It's like he knows exactly what's going to go down. And that's why he's got that great ability. That's why he's so good at piloting the ship. It's like he is just... really quick-witted.
And it actually inadvertently becomes a very, very important character note to Han Solo. And Lucas doesn't
It's called a character arc, George.
Exactly. It's a character arc. It's the one thing you destroyed with Darth Vader. But anyway, that's... the point
that's
is...
That's Wizard Annie.
The point is that with this, he's just saying, oh, you wanted to shoot first, that means you must want him to be a cold-blooded. He sees the world in these really simple black and whites. Yeah. And you just sit there and go, for a man who claims to have read all the stuff about the hero's journey and all the Campbell stuff, I don't think he actually understood it.
Yes, it's exactly what I was going to say. It's like, have you noticed he's stopped talking about all that stuff now, and he's only talking about the technical achievements of his films.
Yeah, and my lovely wife Katie was the one who pointed out to me, she said he's a very good storyteller, she just doesn't think he's very intelligent. You know, and it's like, and that's a bold statement, I know, and you know, I do apologize because we don't really know the man and everything else, but that's how it's coming across right now. It's coming
across. He doesn't come across as very bright.
That's the word I'm looking for, is bright, not intelligent, bright. He doesn't come across as very bright.
But he also doesn't come across as, we're never getting invited to the Skywalker Ranch.
God,
now,
no.
But he never comes across as particularly interested in what other people have to say.
Do
so
you know
he
what?
Surrounds himself with yes men.
Open invitation. George, invite us to Skywalker Ranch and convince us otherwise. You know what I mean?
Because we wield
our biggest problem. Yeah, exactly. We're like a big deal, man.
We've got an audience the size of the audience of Phantom Menace. Come on.
Yeah. You mean the 3D remake, right?
That's right. Okay, that's enough of George Lucas. He's actually... Oh, wait a minute.
You're not even interesting enough to make me sick.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's move on. Richard. This one's for Josh.
I put this story in for Josh, yeah, because, Josh, I know how much you love X-Men Origins Wolverine. And I know pretty much since I've met you, you've been saying, when's there going to be another one? I loved it so much. Can't wait to see what they're going to do with the character because I really enjoyed
that. No, actually, I think what he said to you was,
give us all your money.
There you go.
That's exactly, actually, the first time I met Josh, that's exactly what he said.
It sounds like something I would say.
And what did I say to that, David?
I think you said something along the lines of,
it's really dark in here.
Pretty much. But yeah, basically, very short story. The Wolverine, being directed, of course, by, help me out here, guys.
Nope. You're all on your own.
Being directed by James Mangold. It's going to be set largely in Japan, based on the Chris Claremont and Frank Miller stuff. Has got a release date of 26th of July, 2013. So brace yourself.
Just something for you to look forward to, Josh.
I'm not even going there. I'm not gonna do this. I've learned from fan hype. That was a big experience in fan hype, and I paid the price for it, and I will never do that again.
Yet the film trailered well. Anyway, so let's do one more, and then we're going to finish up here because we are running out of time. And I'm going to say, let's file this in the duh category. Lionsgate recently bought Summit Entertainment, and they've actually come out and said, yes, they would love to make more Twilight films if Stephanie Meyer writes more books. Is that even a statement they had to make?
Well, no, but I think they're just jabbing at it. They're just like, come on.
What they're saying is, Stephanie.
You know what? The other big Twilight story this week was that they did a thing in Target where they played footage from the last film. And so it was just such a brilliant piece of cross-promotion. They got people to actually come into the Target store, watch this footage with the Target logo in the corner. People were recording this, uploading it to YouTube, and it still had the Target logo. So it was everywhere on the web.
Mm, you know what that sounds like? That sounds like...
It's Bush League psycho stuff.
That's right.
Exactly.
All right. That's the news for this week. Josh, where can people find out more about you on the internet?
RawDLC.com is a gaming website. Head over there, check it out, and yeah.
And yeah, okay. Yeah. And Richard,
and that's me.
Richard, where can people find out more about you? We're out of time. Moving right along. No, go ahead. Go.
Oh, to hell with you. You can find me at therealbits.com. That's the RELBits.com. You can also find me on Twitter at DVDBits.
I want to have sex with that voice.
Oh, yeah, you want to put your hand in it because it's fruity like jam.
Because it also says...
It's really dark in here.
There you go.
It's
really dark in here. And you can, of course, find me at geekactually.com or on Twitter at David McVeigh, all one word. And that's pretty much a show for this week. If you want to send feedback to us or propose stories or anything else, send them to feedback@filmactually.com or voicemail us at 02-8011-3167. That is a Sydney, Australia number for those who are listening overseas, and we do have a lot of overseas listeners at the moment, so if you are overseas, you can just send a Geek Actually message to our Skype account, which is all one word, Geek Actually. Okay, now, that's it. We're done. That's the news.
Is that right? Yeah, and Whitney Houston died.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. All right, yeah.
All right, cool. All right, bye, guys.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Get you later on down the trail.